I don't know. I'm not going to hang up. You got your, you're good.
Not what we want. Good evening. It's 7 o'clock. It's Wednesday night. And every Wednesday night, it's the ABD.
Every Wednesday night, it's
at
the
7 o'clock.
ABD.
And this is the American Book of the Dead by E.J. Gold. And this particular class is one where we work our way through the chambers. And the approach that I've taken in the last year, this is the 49th
class.
49th class, is that the American Book of the Dead, which I gave a whole several talks on the history of, but the American Book of the Dead is a life document. Okay?
Yes.
So many of us have the experience of this as something that we work to, we read to others. We read to others, and someone is in transit, they passed away or something like that, and so what we do is we read them through the chambers, and there's some remarkable, interesting things come up when you start doing that. And I'm not talking necessarily about phenomena so much as just that you are expanded as an individual. And underneath the surface, so you're reading to somebody, and it's the 22nd chamber or 42nd chamber, whatever it is, and you read it to them, and you just, your job is just to be an impartial reader. You just read this, blah, 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 and you read this, and you're delivering this information to the Voyager. But underneath the surface, it's getting in. It's getting into your being, and it becomes part of what I call your whole essential habit package that we read a couple of, in the 36, I think it was.
Yes, we
it,
did.
Is it the end of 36?
Yes, it was.
And it says, and the end, go ahead and read that, Pat.
Yes. All substances are my own projected forms of consciousness.
No, just the four lines.
Oh, that's all?
Four lines.
All phenomena is illusion, neither attracted nor repelled, not making any sudden moves. My habits will carry me through.
So this class has to do with my habits. What habits are we talking about? Because you're in that event, you are a disembodied, you don't have the physical body of habits anymore. The habits that you learn in your historical personality, because you looked at your mother, your father, your aunt, your sisters, your brothers, on how to survive in the planet, you don't have that. Those habits, the shadow of it is there, but they aren't your operable habits anymore, and you can't do some of the things that you used to do. So we are attempting to build a different body of habits.
So the option is, instead of being stuck without your ordinary life habits, what is it that you have available? Isn't that where we are right now?
Yeah. And so one of the things that we've been discussing off and on in the class a few weeks ago, longer than that now.
Yeah.
I think
it's five
or 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
One of our classmates, who had been with us through the last several books that we've studied, Susan Kester, and who was deeply involved in the work of the ABD, passed away. She died on a particular evening, and I got a call from her husband, Dave. And then a lot of stuff happened. People started there is a group that's continuing to read for her now
yes.
at 4:30 a.m. Pacific time in the ashram, led by Pani, Nortiana. I think that Mr. Sierra is another person that's there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
several,
So several people, they're reading specifically for her, okay, in this regard. And other things have occurred too. So anyway, over the weekend, and you might find this interesting, Pat, over the weekend I just got this strong feeling to call her husband, Dave.
Right.
Now, Susan lived out here in Grass Valley for a few years, about 25 years ago or so, some 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And she lived in Sacramento with Jana and Doug and Keith, her and her brother. And then she was living up here in Grass Valley and in Nevada City. And she got quite involved. And then she moved away, did all kinds of other stuff with her life, and then decided a few years ago to reconnect.
Mm-hmm.
And right around that time, she married Dave.
Right.
Dave is her high school friend, lover, you know, and they were very
mm-hmm.
close. And I met Dave a few years ago. I was in Colorado on business, and I met with him. Hmm. So here's a guy that is absolutely supportive of this kind of work.
Yeah.
Has no interest in it.
For himself.
For himself, in a certain way. It's important to know that, in a certain way. And because we went to a Chinese tea house and had tea for about 3 hours, and Susan and I were bantering on about
mm-hmm.
this stuff, and he was just, you could see it was clueless to him, but he just was in support of it. He just supported the work that she was doing. So anyway, so I call him up, and I get him on the phone, and it was just tears. I mean, it was just boom. And he said that he was so sad, he really missed her, and he said that the memorial service, I think, is going to be on January 19th.
Oh, good.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I told him that people were continuing to read, and I indicated that, you know, that they were very moved to do that, and it really seemed to matter. So all this time he was just crying, and it was just, like, so sad. And I said, you know what, Dave? I know you know. This whole thing lasts about an hour.
Yes.
And I said, you know what? He, you know, she'd call me in the middle of the night. You know, here I am at the end of the day, I'm just beat. I'm exhausted, and there it is, 10:30, 11:30 at night, and the phone rings.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's her, because I've got caller ID, and I go, oh, my God. I pick up the phone, and I know I'm on the line for an hour or two.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
As long as it takes, and I said, you know what, Dave? She'd call me in the middle of the night, and she just couldn't stop talking. So in about 5 minutes, we were just laughing our ass off.
Good.
So it just flipped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we had a lengthy conversation about winding up her affairs.
Sure.
She was the one that did that in the household. He didn't know how to do it. And so we went through all of that. That's a critical part of all of this. And as you know, sometimes we don't always do the best job of it with ourselves,
or with our buddies,
close buddies, and we don't think. And here's my whole point on this: we don't always think that it matters. You know,
mm-hmm.
gosh, it doesn't really matter because I'm not sure quite. Something about this Bardo thing really resonates with me. It's a great idea. And I'm sitting there thinking about Susan Kester and the amount of time that we spent together, and I'm talking with Dave and stuff. And for Susan Kester, it isn't an idea.
Correct.
It isn't a concept. It isn't a construct. It is That is what she is doing tonight. Okay? That is what she's doing. And this is an instruction book about how to operate when you're in that part of the map. So I was very fortunate that Dave was so open to talk about this, because it really made me realize how potent this is for me. And I wondered, started wondering, and then Pat, I said to myself, I said to myself, what do you think?
What do you think?
And I thought, what would I do? What's it going to be like when I am in that chamber?
Didn't we ask this question?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so grateful that we are not stepping into new territory. We are revisiting
it. And we're revisiting it over
Thank
and over
you.
Again because of that last
Thank
line
you.
And those four lines
it
that you just
says,
read. My habits will carry me through. And Susan Kester had really good habits.
Definitely.
How are we doing over there? And
time for a personal tale.
Not everybody's logging in. Well, that's okay. It's an important night for some people, Christmas Eve and stuff like that. So
it's always an important night.
It is always actually an important night.
And
so,
and where the night comes in is the part that we want to get to.
Okay.
I'll let you preamble it.
So
set it up.
So now we are on the 38th chamber. All right? And the 38th chamber is is a, we have to remember where we are. And I emphasize this stuff over and over again, and the reason I do is because it's critical to know where you are on the map. A lot of times we are in the map all the time. And let me just put it this way. It is becoming so evident to me that we are Bardo Voyagers all the time. Not only when you die and, gosh, how am I going to do? Oh, I was a Bardo Voyager because we had that great invocation that day. Then I'm a Bardo Voyager that day. And then I'm a Bardo Voyager. I might be on this because I'm going to go over here, and then
right.
I'll probably be a Bardo Voyager then, especially if I sign up. Maybe I could get a card that says, you're a Bardo Voyager.
That would really help, wouldn't it?
I think it might.
You get an
I
ID card,
cards.
And that will help you to, know who you are. And is it going to help you know where you are, though?
Okay, so that's indeed a little help. Like a lifetime of, and we're so blessed, and I think we're so blessed that you have to look. So how do you know where you are on the map, okay? It's hard to know where you are on the map unless you with, EJ's doing this thing on this these chapters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have the personal focus and discipline to do it. But, yeah, I did, the first five or six of them, and it's a terrific exercise. But here's what it got me thinking about. It says, where did I wind up today? Where did I wind up? Let's see. Let's take an inventory. I'm sitting here right now. I'm a pretty smart guy. And I've got a lot of experience for a lot of years. And I wound up in what I think is one of the most active, pragmatic, spiritual adventures on the planet. And I've looked at many of them, okay? I played baseball with some pretty good players, some pretty good individuals out there, and including, anyway, just a lot. So this is where I wound up. And here I am tonight, and I'm talking about the intricacies of the American Book of the Dead, and I explained this to a graduate student at Berkeley who is in their seminary on hospice training,
mm-hmm.
and it blew his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's an academic that's doing, and I says, oh yeah, I do this every Wednesday night. There's like 15 to 20 people. He goes, what? So I'm here tonight doing this, surrounded by people who have a depth of study in spiritual work. The people that I'm looking at around me right now, and there's how many people?
That's the problem, isn't it? If I start counting, I don't know what to look at.
What did you say?
She said thousands.
She said thousands. Let's see.
We're talking about the individual human forms that are present in the room.
There's seven people here, including me.
It's not the defining factor.
And these are all people who have literally devoted their life. They've changed their life to be part of the spiritual path. They took their sailboat and tacked in a different path. And they've been doing it for years, these individuals. So that's what I surrounded myself with. So if I look at how it's working out, I'd say,
very clever.
Not bad. And then I'm sitting here babbling into this microphone, and there's a red dot in front of me on this camera, and some people say that it's actually going onto the internet, and people are watching my babbling. And who are those people? I don't know all of who's, because not everybody signed in, but I know that I heard Grocky is there, a spectacular individual. I heard that the Vidir, who is some kind of angelic poet up in Canada, who Melissa? Lorca? Oh, Melissa Lorca is there. Laura 34 is there. Who? Muscle Spark. Who? I mean, you could have had an easier to pronounce name. Easier for me.
No, it's a very good name.
Mostly I'm thinking of me.
Enough about you already.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about me?
I have one or two, but I don't share my thoughts about you.
Thank you. But my point is, that's where I am on the map. Okay?
And that's an interesting point, because that's where you are on the map, and the map is already, as we know, the same for everyone except your experience of it is not going to be the same, which is why we have these multiple chambers, and we have these different instructions, and we have these varying points of view. And I'm going to give you a different one right now. About 15 years ago, I did a lot of traveling, and I did go to places, and I presented workshops, and I observed that I hadn't been aware of this particular fact, but I really did not want to die drowning. And one of the times in Spain, I had a close Bardo buddy agree that if at all possible, and I was dying, drowning, he would come and take care of my dying, drowning. Now, that's a kind of a commitment that you would think would be kind of absurd. absurd in a certain way because, you know, I don't live in Spain all the time and that person doesn't live in the U.S. So how could that possibly be? But what we're talking about here is a kind of acknowledgement of the relationship between your essence voyager self and another. Like when you do readings for people, you discover something about that for yourself. Now here's the opposite end of that picture. So someone volunteered to give me a hand when I was doing the stupid dying drowning thing. I figured for myself early on, I don't know what we mean by that, but in this particular case, I'm talking about my lifetime as a very young person, quote, before I entered into the institute, so like high school. I felt with no particular knowledge or information that if I worked on the idea of dying, that I would know all I needed to know about living. And that is an actual quote from one of my diaries that I just found a couple of weeks ago from when I was 17.
Wow.
And the next thing that I realized was my agreement with myself during that time when I did a lot of traveling, which was a 10-year cycle. I went all over the place. That if I knew for a fact that I could continue to be of service from, quote, the other side of the grave. In other words, my voyager skills.
Wait a minute. Say that sentence again.
Oh, if I knew for a fact that I could still be of service from the other side of the grave.
Wait a minute.
No, it's true.
Let's underline that by writing it into, somebody type that into the log.
Oh, type it in, yeah.
Say it again, real slow for us that don't speak English.
If I knew for a fact that I could still be of service from the other side of the grave.
The heavy sentence, okay.
That my voyager skills, like the ones you use when you're doing readings, that my voyager skills would still be of service and available to me. I didn't worry about what manner of death.
Okay, so
it absolved my own personal issue because I didn't want to die drowning. I don't like it.
I don't want you to die drowning.
I'm ambivalent about it now.
Yeah.
Did you get it?
Yes.
Thank
Did
you.
You type it in there. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
A comment.
Read it.
We have a comment from Ricardo Flores.
Heard of him.
I saw you drowning when we went to El Salvador also. We went over your death together.
No, you did. I wasn't going to mention it, but thank you for bringing it up. Do you want to say more about that? Because there was more. You can go ahead and spill it out now. No, I'm serious. Do you want to say more?
You can give, if he wants to call in and speak and say it, he can do that, or just type it in.
Yes.
Or he might be fine. I know.
And I have not spoken this. That's why I said it's just a different point of view about what you do with what you have available to you. If you've got knowledge about what it is that you can possibly do, then you can make an arrangement to make that available to what you can possibly do wherever you are. That's the commitment you can make. That's the skill level you can proceed with. That, in my opinion, is what 39 is about. That's just my opinion.
So let's take a look at 39. This is this chamber 39. Okay. It's a surprising chamber.
Oh, excuse me. I meant 38. I said 39.
We're on 38. We're on 38. And if you look at the top of your page, by the way, it says, I think it says, the third stage.
Yes, it does.
It says the third stage of the voyage. So It's a map indicator. Again.
Good.
Okay, you're in the third stage of the voyage. That's where we are. And so, just remember that. All right, so you want to get us started?
Third, T8, chamber.
Go ahead.
Yes. Okay. Welcome.
Ricardo Flores says, we both knew that moment when you know you can be of service there as well as here. I have drowned like you, and going through it with you was awakening for all concerned.
Excellent.
38.
Yeah, we'll comment on that in a minute, okay?
There are many individuals who aren't interested in liberation and meet this teaching with disinterest. They only want to create suffering around them because they are suffering through existence, and they don't know how to make the efforts necessary to liberate themselves. They may prefer to wander in the six lower dimensions rather than face the simple and terrifying reality of the pure, shining, clear.
And this gets into what we're talking about, the bandwidth. Okay. So I thought to myself, why would somebody not be interested in this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, in a certain way, what I have found is that this this kind of work gets us in touch with what I have come to know as my path home. That I've never felt as much at home as I am when I'm doing this work or I'm interacting with individuals who are doing this work.
Mm-hmm.
I feel at home in a very deep way, and it has nothing to do with any physical space, has nothing to do with family. It has to do with that I know that I'm getting close. I'm a drop of this clear light, and every time I get to feel it, it goes, yeah. So I started wondering, why would people not be interested in it?
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, we can look at ourselves back and you say, okay, well, what are you up to? Well, you're here tonight. So you're interested. You're one of the ones that's interested.
Mm-hmm.
And what, 11 people online? 15 people are interested. They're taking valuable time away from whatever they were doing.
Yeah.
And they go, I'm just going to open this book here, this 38th chamber. So the crowd that you're gathering around are in the group called Yes, I Am Interested.
Exactly.
And I started thinking about it more, and I started thinking, oh, my God, you know, maybe this isn't talking about us and them so much as it's talking about me. Talking about me, because sometimes, you know, when I want to watch Terminator 2 or something like that, it's very good.
I love it. What do you mean it's very good? It's terrific. You watch your men. I have the Schwarzenegger and slots of me.
And I just escape from it all. You know, maybe at that moment, I am willing to wander in the lower six dimensions with that Terminator.
Okay. And so, they develop minds which will keep them from confronting or even knowing about this. They keep their confusions solid by creating for themselves psychoses, insanities, drives, urges, aberrations, confusions, necessities, significance, purpose, goals, aims, needs, and problems. As a bookkeeper, need I say more?
So then this chamber is telling us, keep your eyes, because you are a voyager, you know you're a voyager, and it's getting a little bit more that you're a voyager every day, that balance of the human biological machine and the essential self is changing. The essential self is starting to become more and more
prominent.
It becoming the leader, in a sense. And so you look around and you go, oh, well, there's Jack, and he's always angry. Jack's always angry. Mm. Now, and so, the natural thing to do when Jack is angry is you get defensive, right?
Right.
You can get angry.
Yes.
Or you can notice, here is an individual that is indulging in these properties.
Mm-hmm.
Is they have no concept how to get to the clear light. They have no concept. They don't have the ways and means. Underline that. So type that in there, actually. They don't have the ways and means. We do.
I'm just going to read two
Go
more
ahead.
Sentences
Keep going.
Here,
Keep
and then
going.
I'll make a comment. In this way, they keep themselves too busy trying to handle all of that, to be able to think about or remember the situation as it really is, all the effort to become awake is simply another of those mind games designed to maintain sleep. Now, a little tiny point in my method of looking at the text. Everything that's in the first two paragraphs here is in third person plural, they. Everything is about them, happens to them. They do this, they do that. Guess what happens in the last paragraph?
We're not going to get to the last paragraph quite yet.
Thank you.
So many, many, many years ago, decades, maybe 100 years ago or so, we were doing a certain kind of work, and Morgan had just, it was very, very, very early in the morning, but it was light. Okay, it was already light out. And this barn had not been built yet. Okay? And let's just say it was full evening, and EJ said, take Morgan out, and she needs to lie on the ground, a particular spot, which I happen to know what it is, and we talked about, and you just stay with her. Okay, so we did that. We walked outside, she got on the ground, and let's just say the air was crackling with fullness of energy. And in about 30 seconds into it or something like that, so she's lying on the back, right, like this, and she goes like this. Attempting to push it away.
Yeah. I mean, you could be right. When I saw that, the first thing I thought of was that she wanted to pull her.
So Marvette's saying that her interpretation is that maybe she was just being a pillar helping hold up
creation.
I happened to ask her, and I didn't have that in my back pocket because I just asked her what. Why was she doing that? And she said, you know, it was too much. So all this has to do with developing certain kinds of bandwidth, too. Okay, bandwidth is our ability to hold more energy. Now, where's the thing that says lightning handlers always crackle? Is that in Life in the Labyrinth,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that a chapter heading?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So lightning handlers always crackle. So if your job is to be a lightning handler, you're gonna crackle a few times.
Correct.
But you get better at it. Now this poor guy that's at the end of the list here of
yes.
anger and
yeah.
significance and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
Great list, by the way.
Yeah.
Huh? Great list. And so that poor guy doesn't have a manner in which to practice. It's simply that. So when you're sitting there and you're at your work or you're doing something, are you still teaching? Are you teaching? When you're teaching your class, and the kids are just really animals that should be penned. Put them in pens and locked up. Does that ever happen?
Yes.
She says, yes, that happens sometimes.
I just had the sensation of all the penned up running around in there. Yeah.
Because they have, at that moment, they have no ways and means to get to the next space. There's this great book by a guy named Ken Robinson, an educator out of Oxford. And he has such a great take on education, which he thinks could be different. And he opens his book. There's a story of this little girl who's about 8 years old. What class do you teach?
6 and 7 year olds.
So she was just a little older, just slightly older, that second grade maybe, third, mm-hmm. something like that. And she was a poor student. She didn't do well. She couldn't hold concentration on any of the math or the reading, the history. It was just very good. But when she did art, she was quite exceptional. She could really get into it. And this one particular day, the teacher, this little girl's in the back of the room, because that's where she sat, and she's doing her art, and she is working away
mm-hmm.
at the art. She's just working. Teacher was surprised to see that much focus and concentration. She says, Kathy, what are you doing down there? She says, well, I'm drawing a picture of God. And the teacher says, nobody knows what God looks like. And she says, they will in a few minutes. Without inhibition, that
right.
young person
right.
was flowing. And word is that if you ask a group of kids in that age group, are you creative? They all go, yeah, I am.
Oh, yes.
Then ask them again when they're 12th graders or freshmen in college, and 4 or 5% will say yes. So,
perhaps
we're ready for the third paragraph.
There isn't any effort that needs to be made in order to awaken. In fact, it's just the opposite. I'll stop making efforts to remain asleep and simply cease to have anything to do with action and reaction. I won't try to make anything happen or not happen. I'll let go of my efforts to maintain consciousness and reality. As those drop away, I will be the only thing remaining when there's no more struggle to be something, have something, or do something. I will find myself need any commentary.
And I saw Morgan also in other situations able to handle the most intense levels of that form of energy. So how do you do it? How do you do that? How do you get better at handling all that energy? What do you mean, increase your bandwidth? Oh, wait, can you read that again?
I'll stop making efforts to remain asleep and simply cease to have anything to do with action and reaction. I won't try to make anything happen or not happen. I'll let go of my efforts to maintain consciousness and reality as those drop away. I will be the only thing remaining. It's critical. It's equivalenting I to a thing. What are we talking about here? All of a sudden there's like nothing?
Yeah.
It's just the nothing? It's the thing, the no thing? When there's no more struggle to be something, have. Or do something, I will find myself awake.
You know, I love my life. I really enjoy very much the work that I do, and I mean, I had a terrific meeting on Monday morning, you know, with some great friends, and it's very exciting, the work. And I think I've made progress. Somebody asked me, an old high school friend asked me, says, "Well, what'd you do?" I said, "Well, I kind of dropped out for 30 years." He goes, "Oh, what'd you do?" I kind of was in a spiritual group. He goes, "Well, do you think you made progress?" I think I did. But I also think that I am just beyond the beginner stage. Because I had a couple of experiences in very intense chambers that you were also part of. And I was able to hang out there. But there was, I remember with absolute clarity, a moment when in a certain way it's like my shoulder brushed the void or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And all I knew is I ain't ready for that. It's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
Because what this last paragraph is talking about is spectacular. It's saying, can you give up the self? Can you give up your self-identification, which is woven with your career, your body, your name, your brother, your father, your cat? All of that makes up. And is Simon on? Simon Templar. Didn't see him? So, like, I have this recurring dream theme that
mm-hmm.
comes up. And in the dream, I'm somewhere. I'm in a city. I'm in the woods. I'm somewhere. It doesn't matter. And events are occurring. And during the course of the events unfolding, I somehow, like, I lose my wallet,
mm-hmm.
my cell phone, and my keys.
Mm. Your mobility, your communication, and your identification.
And I immediately start going into a panic.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I start, where is it? it's like I don't necessarily verbalize it, but there's this tension under the surface that people will be talking to me, and all I'm thinking about is, what happened to my wallet? I know that, where did I set it down?
Yeah.
That's the theme that's coming through, and that's what's saying, you know what, buddy? You're a long way.
That's a distraction.
You got a lot of work to do, because you're just a sucker for the same old thing, and it's sitting there in your wallet and your cell phone and your keys. So, I mean, that this last paragraph, write it out, read it, walk with it, tattoo it on the inside of your arm.
Okay, what you always can do with any one of these chambers is read them in reverse sequence. So you start with the last sentence first. I don't mean read the last word first. I mean the last sentence and then the one prior to that. You can also move your point of view from being the one that is reading this to being the one that is writing it. That's another way to access information here that's known to you in some manner.
Absolutely.
You just need to discover what is the manner in which I know this. How do I know this? What is the way that I know? That's the discovery here. It's not that it's out of your reach. It's that you haven't yet discovered how you can tell yourself what it is that you know. That's the simplest part about the fact that someone wrote it down for you, is so that you can write it down for yourself in your own way that it is. That's the entrance point. That's the beginning gate. That's the doorway for you. What is it that it says to you? Now, I've got one more thing here. We've got a fantastic situation here, what David was talking about before, which is we have a individual who is a live teacher, current time, place, person, everything. So the aspects of what he is addressing are immediacy, first of all. It's never something that's like, oh, you know, we used to. No, it's always current time. You ever notice that? Like you walk in this room and you go, oh, it's here again. It's fresh. It's new. It's right now. It's present.
Yeah.
So you have this tactileness that is assailing your impressionistic sensor. You know, it's like you mentioned how your left shoulder was touching the void there. I've got a slightly broken wing at the moment, you know? It's not doing the things that should have been, were able to do. Now it's not doing that. I'm going, what is that opportunity to know about? This says, when there's no more struggle. It doesn't say that you can't be something, have something, or do something. It says, when there's no more struggle to do something, have something, or be something, I will find. That's, you know, there's three instructions there.
That's right.
It's set it down, you know, lay it down, don't just carry it around like it's a big drama show. Set it down. And then whatever there is that is being asked or that you are agreeing to participate in, don't make that the thing. That's not the thing. Okay, I'm wandering, meandering, sorry. I've just been on the road too long here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not this road. The driving road. The 3 hours driving road. I don't mean this road. This road's totally fine.
What's she talking about?
3 hours to and from Chico, you know.
So when I stumbled on this chamber and, you know, it was We're going to do 39 tonight. But
we've got 7.5.
No.
It's
we gotta get,
perfect.
It is perfect. She is right, by the way. But
he's a very good provider of the chamber for learning in, and I would rather just die.
Yeah, we're going to do that one next week. But you're absolutely. I did read ahead. I read ahead in the text. So I cheated. So when you go through the day, you're going to find sometimes you're the person that they're talking about in the first paragraph.
Absolutely. And the second paragraph.
Disinterested.
Yeah.
And you got all that list, that big long list.
Urges.
You know, the one that I like is significance.
Yeah, I like
I'm giving significance mostly to me.
I like aims, plans, and goals myself.
Mostly
you know.
I'm thinking of me.
Well, thank you. I don't have to then, do I?
That's right. Hey, wait a minute. And so sometimes that is happening. And then there's this curious thing in this third paragraph. Read the first phrase again.
There isn't any effort that needs to be made in order to awaken.
So when I read that, I thought I was just, I had a lot of fear because I thought that's going to be misinterpreted. And this is a form of surrender of the highest order. You have to go through something to get to that place and to where you're able to be in that space called there is nothing to do. Can you get to that place? It's not like giving up, like not like being lazy. That's not when you say, well, what'd you do today? Well, nothing, I just kind of like hung out. Mostly what you're doing is indulging in self-pity, probably. That's a great favorite of most of us. You know, so, but you'll find this space called doing nothing is a profoundly active space. And sometimes you're in all those indulgences too. So watch how that comes up. And in a good way, I mean, if it's hard to do that, then, you know, Rudy used to have this phrase, practical work on others. You know, and I think he took it to heart in a certain way. But bottom line of it is that maybe that is a pragmatic way, is watch how others are,
mm-hmm.
and then your response to that.
Mm-hmm.
That'll give you a little bit of a clue where you are in regard to this particular chamber.
If there's a map,
there you go.
This location has so much detail.
Yeah.
Most of it is internal. Hardly any of it is like what we had before, which was, you know, the winds and the blowing and the
retinue and his consort.
This is all kind of, it appears that it has
calmed down.
And that is, of course, an illusion because the import of having this available at your fingertips to be listening, not particularly significizing any one thing or another, that has so much potency. That's where the energy is. That's that form of inertia that is right behind.
Be still, just for a moment. Between case, there is no me. You just follow. So.
We must ask if there are comments.
Comments, questions, criticisms, critiques, challenges.
Requests.
Hopes, wishes, fears. Here's one now. Nothing. Oh, here we go.
Lara 34 says, it is between the in-breath and the out-breath.
But it really is. But it really is. What we do, we have the sin of that, the end of that last second paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that this awakening stuff is just another trip. No, it actually is between the in-breath and the out-breath. Right at that fulcrum of motion. But of course, we rarely pay attention.
It's been delightful to be with our
yeah.
guest this evening. I'm just wondering if you might, since you're sitting here live, so to speak, in person.
That microphone.
Would there be anything you would like to
say your name?
Speak out or say.
May not.
Everyone.
Yeah, like you.
Sylvia.
Is here. And Kathleen is here. Thank you so much for sitting in.
What was it like? Okay. Very okay.
It's not really letting go of anything physical in a way. Sometimes it happens, but it's been more of a letting go. Getting to that no thing.
It is a good place. We think we. You know, we define freedom in terms of external things, but it's actually when you start to give it all away, a different kind of freedom comes that you never even suspected was there. And it is sweet. It's just a really sweet thing. Well, I'm glad you both made it up and drove all the way here. Couriers, and I know you have other work you're going to be doing.
Tune in for number 39.
Yeah, and number 39, I've got.
But go ahead and work on 38 because it's worth digging.
Yeah, and I have a question for you, Pat, next week.
This is a better week to ask than next week.
I'll bring up the topic.
Absolutely.
We're going to be over time, and I don't know how that affects people, but, I mean, it's Christmas, right? Can't we go over time sometimes?
I don't tend to do too much with the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Rocky. And if you need to leave, thank you for being there and all your work on in many, many, many ways that you do it. But here's my question. So I'm on the phone the other day with Simon Templar, and we're actually on Skype and vibrant conversation, and he and this came up with one other person, but it came up with him, and he said, "Sometimes I feel like I want to read for my mother." And his mother died years ago, but he had this strong feeling he wanted to read for his mother. Okay? How does that coordinate with 49 days?
You're right. It has to be more than just one or two words. Tune in if you can remind me.
I can definitely remind you.
The next time I sit with you, which may or may not be.
I hope it's next week. I always hope it's next week. Yeah. And I won't forget because it is
good.
Just...
And Simon has the responsibility to bring it up also.
Well, he may or may not even be here.
So
he's on
next year.
We don't know.
No, next Wednesday, whenever Wednesday is, the next Wednesday.
It's not
New
next year.
31st?
Yes. No. Yes.
Yeah. Today, yeah, you add
yes.
7 to the number.
Yes.
31st. None of that matters
it's
a lot.
It's the time when we can't even do the math. Good time to end the show.
Yeah.
Thank you all for coming. It's lovely to have you, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.